speaking on this program is Brother Kevin Key.
There is all kinds of negative people and evil things that are going on out in society. And let's be honest, those things can be very disappointing to us. But then sometimes people seem to attack us personally, and as a result of that, those things can even be depressing to us. And in this then too, we have multiple ways in which we are challenged, and for that reason, every one of us needs, as well as we deserve, positive and powerful people in our lives. Everyone wants and everyone longs for love. Everyone longs for an expression of love, but also we understand is that everyone longs for a demonstration of love. And as we look to the world and want people to express the way that they might love us, also the way in which we would want people to demonstrate their love for us, yes, that is important, but equal to that, you and I need to do our part to make certain that we express our love towards our fellow man, as well as that we will demonstrate the love that we have for these people on a continual basis. Good people, as we think in regard to love, love, according to the dictionary, is a feeling of strong or constant affection towards a person. Where did love begin? From a scientific standpoint, they say that love is a taboo point. Well, what does that mean? It's seldom discussed because they do not know where love generated. They say, though, in the scientific world, is that it is an outgrowth from the conscience. And as I look to that, I would say, in part, I can agree with that. I can see where that they would connect love and the conscience together. But in that, then, I would challenge them to say, well, where did the conscience come from? But also, where did man come from? Man and the conscience is an outgrowth of God. Love, its origin, goes all the way back to God. Love has coexisted eternally with God in the presence of God. Why? Because, good people, God is the essence of what true love is really and truly all about. Brother Kenneth led us in a song just a few minutes ago in regard to God is love. And that's not only something that we sing, the Scripture identifies to us that God is love. Well, what does that mean? Good people, that means that God is the epitome of really and truly what love is. He helps to define true love for us. And if it were not for what we read in Scripture, as well as what we understand in regard to our God, there would be no way for you and me to truly understand the essence of what love is to represent in our lives. As we think about love and the love of God, the Bible identifies to us in the book of Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 22 is that God's love is an everlasting and eternal love for us. The word that is employed in the New Testament Scripture oftentimes in regard to the way in which God loves us is agape. And that word agape, and transliterated then love, means is that God loves us with a never-ending sacrificial love. And that is a pretty amazing love, isn't it? Why? Because sometimes we are undeserving of God's love. But still at the same time, the Bible very clearly says to us is that God loves us even whenever we were sinners. Christ died for the ungodly, and what a demonstration of God's love we find in that. But also the Bible identifies to us is that God extends His loving kindness towards all of humanity. In the Lord's church, oftentimes we say that God loves the church, and He does. He loves us in a very specific way, in a very unique manner. But still, when we think in regard to God's love, it's not only extended towards those who are counted as His children, but we understand is that God expresses His love on a continual basis towards all of mankind. And as that, then God wants us to understand as to the extent of His love and why He loves us and what He calls us to in relation to His love. Take into consideration 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. It says, "The Lord is not slack, as some men count slackness, concerning His promise, not willing that any would perish, but that all would come unto repentance." God wants all, whosoever will, to come unto Him and to become one of His children, to live a life that is filled with love, a life that is filled with obedience unto His commandments. The Bible makes it very clear, good people, that our God loves us in a way that you and I, that we are not able to fully comprehend, that is because of our limitations as humans, But still, at the same time, the way in which God loves us, He wants us to be able to wrap our thoughts around that and to understand as we go throughout the course of each and every day that God's love is there for us. How can we know that God loves us? What are some indicators as to the expressions, the ways in which God has demonstrated and will continue to show His love toward us? Good people, think first off about the way in which God moves each and every day to supply for the things that we need in life. This goes all the way back to Genesis, whenever God first created man. God created the Garden of Eden, which, if you look to that is an oasis. A very perfect place and environment where that God walked with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day. And as you look to the context there, God supplied everything that they needed for the sustaining of life, but also so that their life could be of great joy and great pleasure. But also we understand that in the midst of the garden, God gave them instruction with the tree of knowledge that they could partake of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil that they could not partake of it, because in the day that they did, it would serve as a violation of God's law and they would die. But yet, the point that I want us to point out or to make is the fact that God supplied for this man and this woman. He did that also for the children of Israel. He gave them sweet water to drink, turned the bitter water into sweet water. Today I say maybe that was sweet tea. He took and gave them manna from heaven to make certain that they had what they needed in order to sustain them, to feed them, and to provide for them throughout life. And the New Testament Scripture says that God sends rain upon the just and upon the unjust. And according to what we read also in the book of Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 and following, God will provide for us. He provides for all of His creation, and mankind is special to God, and for that reason, God will always make certain that we have, as long as we work for it, what it is that we need in life. His love is an unconditional love toward us in the way in which He supplies for us. Now, that does not mean that life is always going to be a bed of roses. It does not mean that life is always going to give us what it is that we want in life. I was reading in regard to a grandfather and his love for his toddler grandson. And the grandson was in the bed sick, and in the toddler bed sick, and could not get out because of the fact that it was sick and needed its rest, and yet was crying out immensely for the grandfather to come over and to lift the child out of the crib. And as he goes over to the crib, feeling compassion, love for the child, wanting to bring the child up and to hold, the doctor's orders was for the child to stay there and to rest. And the mother catches the glimpse as to what the intentions of the grandfather is. As he's reaching down, he says, "You can't do that. You've got to leave him there because this is what's best for him. He's going to get well. He's going to learn from the idea of where he is." And the grandfather was beside himself because he wanted so much to be able to go in and to lift him out. But he knew that he cannot go against what the mother says and that it's best for the child to stay there. So he thinks in his mind, "Well, what can I do?" So he crawls into the crib and lays down beside the child to demonstrate his love. God works the same way for you and me. You think about Paul and Silas. While they were there in prison, the Scripture says that God was there in and with them. Also, think about the Hebrew children in the fiery furnace. God was there with them through the trial, through the fire. And no matter what it is that we go through in life, our God is there with us to see us through and to encourage us along the way. God loves us, and He shows us that love by providing for the things that we need as well as the comfort that we require in life. But also, I contend today that God loves us because He gave His only begotten Son to die at Calvary's cross for our sins. John chapter 3 and verse 16, the most quoted verse by mankind today in the New Testament Scripture, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." God loves us, and He gave Jesus Christ to die for our sins at Calvary's cross. But not only do we understand that the Father loves us, the Son loves us mutually. John chapter 15 and verse 13, "Greater love hath no man," Jesus said, "than this, than that a man lay down his life for his friends." Verse 14 says, "You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command of you." in Romans chapter 5, verses 7 and 8. He says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God, He commends His love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly." Sometimes we will sing a song, "He loved me so." And I heard of an individual who was a missionary and had gone into a foreign field to do work in regard to preaching and teaching the gospel of Christ. And as he is out in a remote village, they're singing this song with the children. And as they're singing this song, "He loved me so," there was this one child that his eyes really lit up and a smile came across his face. And as they would sing and the lyrics, and they would come to the "me so" angle of that, he would say, "Me so," just real loud. And after the close of the service, the preacher went up to one of the locals, adults, and says, "I noticed that as we were singing, 'God loves me so,' in that there was one of the children that his eyes lit up and that he had such a beautiful smile on his face. And whenever we came to 'me so,' he just said, 'Me so,' real loud." He said, "Why is that?" And he says, "His name is Me so. God loves me so. He loves each and every one of us so much that He was willing to give His Son to die in our stand, to give us a means of salvation and hope beyond this life of an eternal life in heaven with God. God demonstrates His love by the fact that He gave His only begotten, His unique Son to die for our sins. And as we obey Christ in baptism then, God forgives us of all of the sin that we commit against Him through the blood of Jesus Christ. It is an undeserving gift that God gives us. Would you agree with that? We do not deserve the love of God. Why? Because we rebel against Him. We sin against His law. But yet at the same time, good people, God identifies that He loves us even before the foundation of the world. And in the creation of the world, He created man. Out of all the creatures that He created man after His given image. After His very image, He created us. And therefore, God says through the Old Testament and even in the New Testament, how much He wants a relationship with us. And still there's nothing that we can do on our own accord in order to earn or to gain that salvation, that forgiveness. It's only whenever we obey Christ in baptism, by doing what God commands us to do, that God forgives us. And understand, here's what the Bible says in regard to the forgiveness that we receive in Christ and our obedience to the will of God. We will stand justified in the sight of God. That word justified or justification is a very peculiar and special word as it identifies or relates with our salvation. To be justified oftentimes is identified as this: to be just as if I had not or we had not sinned. Isn't that beautiful? To know that sin separates us from God, and to understand the way that God looks at sin is that it is disgusting, it makes Him sick. And while we were living in sin, having sin in our life, unforgiven, that's the way that God looked at us. But whenever we obey Christ in baptism and our sins are washed away, Acts 22 and verse 16, and we are raised to walk in newness of life, is that God now looks at us in a way that to us we say, how can He do that? Just as if we had never sinned. God loves us and He forgives us of all of our sin in Jesus Christ our Lord. But also, good people, understand that we can understand that God loves us because He communicates to us through His inspired Word. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 and 17. As Paul is writing to the young evangelist Timothy, he says, "For all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God." Inspiration there in the Greek language is theos neustos. Theos meaning God, neustos meaning breathe. God breathed, spoke, communicated His Word to mankind. Note what he says. "All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, so that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped unto every good work." Well, what's he say? It's profitable. It's beneficial for you and me as it would relate to everything that God wants us to know in regard to our relationship with Him. But also, we understand, is that He provides us everything that is essential for life and unto godliness. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. Note what the psalmist says in Psalm 119 and verse 105. He says that God's Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. God not only wants to forgive us of our sin whenever we put Christ on in baptism, but God says, here, I want you to understand the path that I have for you in life. He says, I have a beautiful path that is lit for you, and it's written through the Word of God. And the way in which we're able to understand it is a continual or constant studying of the Scripture and then applying those things to our life. And God says, I love you so much that I've been able not only to forgive you, but to communicate the type of life that I want you to live while you are here. God loves us in these ways and in so many more. But what does God want from you and me? The people God wants and God deserves our love for Him. God wants us to be focused upon Him, and God wants us to put Him first in our lives. Luke chapter 10 and verse 27 says that we are to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Well, what does that mean? It means that we are to love God with every fiber of our being, with our very all. We think about God on a continual basis. We love Him. And not only do we think about Him, we engage in life thinking continually about the love that God has for us. And if we want to walk faithfully in our love for God, then we're going to do what it is that He commands us to do. Also, though, connected with our love for God, there is this love for the church. How do I know that? Because Jesus said so in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. What does it mean to put God first in our life? Good people, putting God first in our life does not mean that we fit God into our life, but rather that we commit to fitting our life into God. You got that, right? So many times we want to fit God into our life, and let's be honest, our lives get filled up really quick, and there's no room left for God. And therefore, we need to look to the plan that God has for us and to fit our life, to center our lives in and around God, His plan, His way, His method. And whenever we do so, then we will understand our love for God is where it needs to be, but also it will communicate to God how much we really and truly love Him. But then also, those who love God, they will obey the gospel. They will do what God commands us to do. What is it that God says? In John chapter 14 and verse 15, Jesus exclaims, very clearly, if you love me, keep my commandments. Well, what does it mean to love God? Well, what is it that God commands us to do? In Mark chapter 16 and verse 16, Jesus said, he that believes and is baptized will be saved, but he that believes not will be condemned. Baptism is an essential aspect of what God requires us to do in order for us to be recipients of His forgiveness and also for us to have hope of an eternal salvation in heaven with our God. Biblical love is more than an expression of words. It is obedience to what God commands us to do. And if we love God the way that He commands us to love Him, then also there will be this carrying over of love towards our fellow man. God wants us to love our fellow man as He has loved us. He sets the qualifications there. As I have loved you, you also need to love everyone else. Well, how has He loved us? He loved us through Jesus Christ. He loved us sacrificially by giving His Son for us. And therefore, we are to look to that qualification, to that level of love, and make it apply then as we are reaching out to trying to love our fellow man. And who should be a recipient of this type of love? Everyone, even our enemies. I'm reminded of this lady who was bitten by a dog. And in that, the dog had rabies. She found out she had to take the shots. I understand that those are not a walk in the park. She was taking the shots and the shots were not working. And the doctor told her, said, you're not going to make it. You're going to die. He says, you need to go and set your affairs in order. She asks the doctor immediately for a pen and paper, and she starts to write things down profusely, and as she's writing, she fills up a whole page within a matter of about 5 or 10 minutes, and the doctor looks at her and says, "Wow, you've got a lot of affairs to set into order. What are some of them?" And she says, "Oh, doctor," she says, "I'm making a list of all those who've done me wrong in life, and I'm going to go bite them." Love for our fellow man is not about biting them, doing evil to them, but rather about showing them how much we love and how much we care for them on an ongoing basis. But then also, we will demonstrate our love for God by abiding in the love of God in order to secure us salvation. I'd like to close with the Scripture in Jude and 21. "Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto salvation." We have a responsibility to walk worthy of the calling of which we've been called in Christ. And that's what keeping ourselves in the love of God is all about. Looking for and longing for that glorious day when we will see the Lord in the air and stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And if found faithful in the love of God, in obedience to what God commands us to do, then to be able to dwell eternally in heaven with God who loves us and whom we love. What a blessing, glorious blessing that will be in that day. This morning as we close, I ask you, have you accepted God's love in Jesus Christ? Yes, He extends that love, but yet at the same time, it's up to us to accept it. How do we accept it? The same way that the Ethiopian eunuch did in Acts chapter 8, verses 26 and through 41. As he read from the Scripture, he did not understand what it was that he was reading, and Philip came and taught him about Jesus. And the Scripture says that as they came into a certain water, he said, "See, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized?" Not only did he tell him about Christ, but he connected the fact that if you're going to be in Christ, you've got to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin. And he says, "See, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized?" And Philip said, "If you believe with all of your heart, you may." God doesn't want half-heartedness, but He wants your heart, soul, mind, and strength as you will become His disciple. Today, have you responded to Christ in baptism? Have you confessed Christ to be the Son of the living God? If not, we want to extend the Lord's invitation to you today, or if you're here and you're erring in some way, and we can pray for you and with you, please come.